Ever seen the excitement on a kid's face when he learns something new, when he grasps a concept that he struggled to understand? How does that childlike amazement compare with your response to God's work in your salvation? Something to consider next on Grace to You. It's an amazing sight when a child struggles to learn something and then finally gets it. His eyes light up, his smile beams, and usually he can't wait to tell someone what he's learned. Well, the truth is, that should be your response if you're a follower of Christ, a response to the truth of what God has done for you in salvation. But sadly, many of us have lost that sense of amazement at the grace that God has shown us. We've lost that childlike wonder. Today on Grace to You, John MacArthur helps you have that childlike wonder as he takes you to a fresh look at the miracle of regeneration and the stunning truth of what God has done for you if you're a Christian. Today's lesson is a part of the new study called The Second Birth. And now, here's John MacArthur with today's lesson.
For now, I want to encourage you to open the Word of God to the third chapter of John to look at this very important portion of Scripture on the new birth, being born again. Now, our Lord's message is very simple. The kingdom of God is entered only through being born again. The kingdom of God is the sphere of salvation. It's the people ruled by God who have eternal life and are on their way to heaven. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is by being born again. That's the only way. Apart from that, no one enters the kingdom of God. This we call the doctrine of regeneration. What does it mean? It is simply a term that describes the necessity that a person receive a new birth, a new life, a new nature, a new disposition, a new character, a new mind from God, and that person makes no contribution to that. What Jesus says here only introduces the subject of being born again, of regeneration, and the rest of the New Testament enriches and expands and elucidates on that subject. Now, let me help you with this. Some of you who've studied theology, when you come together to this term regeneration, when you bring yourself to visit this declaration, this great doctrine of regeneration, you're touching the truth of irresistible grace. Now, you will remember that phrase if you know Calvinism, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance, the little tulip acrostic. So irresistible grace is where you are when you come to the doctrine of regeneration. Okay, some would call it the supernatural subpoena. Some would call it the unyielding summons, the saving call. But this is where God draws you to Himself, out of your deadness. This is where God drags you out of the grave. This is regeneration. This is what enables the dead sinner to believe, to repent, to call out to Christ. Now, I want to leave Nicodemus and Jesus for the moment, and I want you to go to James chapter 1, because this is where I'm going to fill in some of the gaps that may well have been in that conversation. And I say that because they're all over the New Testament, and the Spirit of God revealed them to the other writers. But I want you to go to James chapter 1. There might be a number of places to go, but this one is especially condensed. And what is his best gift, and in what and to whom do these gifts come? Well, they come in the kingdom to those who belong to it. And he describes that in verse 18. Here's his best gift, and here's the entrance to all his gifts, which never change, in the exercise of his will. Now, do I need to stop there and emphasize that? In the exercise of his will, he birthed us. He birthed us. Well, you can stop right there. He brought us forth. It's exactly the same verb as back in verse 15. Sin gives birth to death. in His kingdom, He gives birth to us. The glory of this divine gift is really stunning, and it is the starting point for all His other gifts, for every good gift, every perfect gift. Follows, having given us this, Romans 8 says, how will He not freely give us all things in Christ? Or Ephesians 2, where He saved us, that He might dispense to us the riches of His mercy forever and ever and ever and ever. So we want to look at the starting point here in verse 18 and understand how it is that we are birthed by God into His family and hence into His kingdom. So let me ask the simple questions. What, who, how, why? What is regeneration? Well, go back to verse 18. He brought us forth. He gave us birth. He birthed us. He gave us life. He made us live, brought us out of death. Regeneration is simply that. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. The New Testament is just packed with revelation about God giving us life. That's what regeneration means. Ephesians 2:1, and you being dead in trespasses and sins. That's the condition of every human being. We need life. Spiritual life. Let's see how John deals with it. We can't deal with everybody, but look at John, 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John identifies Jesus as the Word of life, and the life was manifested. And then he says the eternal life, and it was manifested to us. So John has had this wondrous experience of receiving life from God through Christ, who is that life. Now go down to chapter 2 and let's follow up what John has to say. Chapter 2, verse 28, he identifies believers as little children. He does it numbers of times through this one chapter alone. It starts that way in verse 1, talks about it again in verses 12 and 13, talks about it again in verse 18, that we are children because we've been born into the family of God. And then he says in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. That's how he describes what it is to be a believer. What is it to be a believer? It is to be born of God, to be born from above, to be spiritually given life, to be dragged, as it were, out of the grave, to be awakened from the dead. Chapter 3. And by the way, when you're born of God, it shows up because you practice righteousness. Why? Because you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have become common, standard, normal. You're a new creation. Chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God, again, that's how John refers to what it means to be a Christian. No one who is born of God practices, goes on habitually practicing sin. Why? He has a new seed of life abiding in him. He can't sin because he's born of God. Again, you can understand that John, who wrote the account of Nicodemus, got the point about new birth. And it becomes the theme term by which he describes salvation in his epistle. If you drop down to verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Again, this is how he describes what it means to be saved. You pass out of death into life. You're new. You're a new creation. You follow righteousness. You don't choose a practice of sin. You love your brother. Whoever doesn't love his brother is still dead. Chapter 4. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God. And again, the same terminology. He doesn't say saved. He doesn't say justified. He says born of God. Because these are the characteristics that are inevitable in the person who has been recreated. Ephesians 2:10 says, we were literally recreated unto good works. Chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. We overcome the world. That is to say, we no longer love the world, the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We don't love those things. We've overcome the world. Verse 12, He who has the Son has the life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life, because the life, verse 11, is in His Son. So you can see just from looking at the wonderful little epistle of 1 John, which a lot of folks think is sort of a basic thing on the Christian life. Well, if it is, then you start with the doctrine of regeneration. And you can declare yourself born of God as evidenced by the fact that you're a completely new creation and the things that used to be part of your life are no longer the dominant forces of your life. You're not perfect, but the direction of your life has dramatically changed. You move toward righteousness away from sin. You walk as Christ walked, or you desire to walk as Christ walked. You follow in that path. You love your brothers. You have no interest in the passing world because you have been given life. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1:4, you became a partaker of the divine nature. You became a partaker of the divine nature. What a great statement. The very life of God. You have the life that comes from God. You're not like the rest of the human race. The glorious manifestation of the children of God has not yet appeared. They don't know what we are. They don't know that walking around in this world, though we look like everybody else, we have the life of God in our souls. Divine life. So that's what regeneration is. Who regenerates us? Go back to James 1. Who regenerates us? Who does this? Is there something we can do to pull it off? No. In the exercise, verse 18, of His will, He birthed us. John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the New Testament writers never tell anybody to do something to be born again, to say something to be born again, to pray something to be born again. They preached people to repent and believe, but they never told people to be born again, because there are no steps to recreating yourself. Of His own will, monergistic, not synergistic. You know, you're not a believer because you took all the things that you wanted, all the desires that you had, all the bad feelings about the way you were living, threw them in a blender, God dumped in some of His own power, and you drank the elixir of salvation. It's not how it works. Of His own will, monergistic, He chose you, He determined, He gave you life. This is a unilateral work of the Creator God, only He could do. As John says in John 1, 12 and 13, it's not by blood, genetics, it's not by flesh, not by sexual relationships or anything like that. It's not by the will of man, not because you want it, not because you desire it, but it's by God that you are born. So go back to the light analogy and look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants or slaves for Jesus' sake. And then notice verse 6. Now we've heard what John had to say. We've heard what Peter had to say. Now let's hear what Paul has to say about this new birth. God, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. That's a reference to Genesis 1. God who said, let there be light, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The reason that you have come to salvation is because God sovereignly turned on the light in you, dispelled your darkness, gave you life for death, light for darkness, sight for blindness, truth for ignorance. Paul says this also in Colossians 1. A wonderful verse, chapter 1 and verse 13. He rescued us. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He grabbed us from the domain of darkness and death and pulled us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is a work of God. Colossians 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive. He made you alive, having forgiven you all your transgressions. Again, the testimony of Scripture is that this is a work of God. Regeneration is recreation, new life, being born again. It comes from above. Only God can do it. He has already decided to whom He will give life, and in His own time, He gives that life sovereignly. In fact, in John 6:44, it says this, no man comes unto me unless the Father draws him. It's the verb elkuo, and that verb means to compel. It's a compelling force. Unless God drags him out of the grave, drags him out of the darkness, drags him out of the kingdom of Satan. That verb elkuo, the Father draws, is used in John 21 of dragging a net, in John 18 of drawing out a sword, in Acts 16 and Acts 21 of dragging a reluctant person into court. It means to compel, to force, to pull, to overwhelm. This is power grace, and that's why theologians call this irresistible grace. This is a work of grace not based on merit. This is grace and omnipotence, power grace, a work of God. Once again, to hear from Paul, Titus chapter 3, and we're touching only some of the passages in the New Testament that address this. I don't know how it could be more clear than this in chapter 3, verse 5. Well, let's go back to verse 3. We were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in kakia, that's general evil, envy, hateful, hating one another. That was us. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. He saved us. Follow, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of what? Regeneration. Regeneration is a birth that wipes out, that washes away all our transgressions and renews us in the Holy Spirit. He saved us. You know, you contributed no more to your regeneration than Lazarus did to his resurrection. Lazarus was dead, several days dead, stinking dead, wrapped up, corpse. And Jesus came and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He made no contribution. And neither did I, and neither can you. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, your problem is not that there are a few things you still need to do. Your problem is not that there are a few things you need to stop doing. Your problem is nothing you have ever done or not done has any bearing on this. You need all of it to stay in the grave, and you need to be recreated from heaven." So you say, "Well, what do I do? I want that. How does that happen?" Well, let's answer the question then. How? What? New birth, new life. Who? God, in the exercise of His own will. Go back to James now. We keep bouncing back to James. That's our base. Follow this. In the exercise of His will, He birthed us. Here it comes, by the word of truth. By the word of truth. What's that? The gospel. The gospel. Faith comes by what? Repentance and faith come by hearing the message concerning Christ, Romans 10. How will they hear without a preacher? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls will be saved. How can they call on one they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they have a preacher unless somebody is sent? So we go, we preach, because regeneration takes place by means of the word of truth. Doesn't happen in a vacuum. Theologians through the centuries have said regeneration can happen days, months, years before salvation. I don't think so. I mean, somebody can actually believe that you're regenerate but not saved. No. No, you have to understand this. Regeneration is an element of salvation. Justification is an element of salvation. Redemption is an element of salvation. Sanctification is an element of salvation. And they all happen in one instantaneous miracle. And two other things are always there: repentance and faith. We're only sorting them out in terms of what's called the ordo salutis, sorting them out from the perspective that one leads to the other. There can be no repentance, there can be no faith, there can be no embracing of Christ until the heart has been recreated. So, how long does that happen before? I don't know, a sort of a divine heavenly millisecond? Let's put it this way. You can't be regenerated apart from hearing the word of truth. Doesn't happen weeks before, months before. In the mighty power of God, He works to regenerate upon the hearing of the word. He gives the gift of repentance. He gives the gift of faith. He justifies, He redeems, He sanctifies, and it's all one moment miracle. But understand this. Faith doesn't produce regeneration. Repentance doesn't produce regeneration. That regeneration comes first. And only when you're made alive can you repent and believe. And it comes only with the Word of God. Listen to 1 Peter 1:23. You've been born again. Peter writes, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. So you've been born again unto eternal life. You won't perish. Through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word which was preached to you, Peter says. Regeneration then is this mighty work of God, giving life to the dead, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in isolation. It happens only upon the hearing of the Word. Now go back to James 1. One final point to make in James 1. And that's why. Why? The what of regeneration, new life. The who of regeneration, God, the exercise of His own will. The how of regeneration, through hearing and believing the Word, which is part of the regenerating work of God to enable us to do that. And why? Why does God regenerate? End of verse 18. So that we would be, so that is eis with eini, which is a purpose clause in the Greek. So that the purpose is this, we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Remember in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you read about the first fruits, Exodus even, the first fruits, the best of the crop, the cream of the crop, the off the top, which the farmer gathered in to himself. And that's exactly what you have here. Why did God do this? The answer is He wanted a gospel harvest. He wanted from all of humanity to pick off a gospel harvest to bring to heaven for His own joy and His own glory. This is John 6. This is all that the Father gives to me will come to me. These are the gifts, the redeemed sinners that God gives to His Son as a love gift that the Son gives back to the Father in eternity. This is a gospel harvest out of all humanity. Why is God doing this? Why is He giving life to the dead? In order that He might gather together a gospel harvest to become His own possession, to love Him and to adore Him and serve Him and worship Him forever and ever and ever in fellowship with Him in heaven. Well, that's the doctrine that Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus. You must be born again or you're not going to be in the kingdom.
You're listening to Grace to You with John MacArthur. Along with being the featured Bible teacher on this broadcast, John also serves as pastor of Grace Community Church and president of the Master's College and Seminary, all located in the Los Angeles area. Today's lesson is a part of his new series from John chapter 3, titled The Second Birth. Now, John, today you said the second birth, regeneration, is the work of God and God alone. So with that in mind, let me ask the question that I'm sure many of our listeners have wrestled with at some time or another. How can a person know for sure that he's saved, that God has regenerated him?
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to say about knowing you're saved is trusting Scripture. Trusting Scripture. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So, first of all, we're not chasing some feeling. We're not chasing some emotion. Oh, there's a lot of that floating around out there. Feeling God. You hear people in these worship environments saying, I feel God's presence. This is a whole genre of stuff going on in evangelicalism. All of that is really bogus. That's not how you know the truth. That's not how you know God.
You know God because you believe His word. It has nothing to do with feelings. It is, first of all, an intellectual understanding of the truth that activates faith in the truth. The emotion follows that, and it's the emotion of gratitude and joy. So you start by believing what the Word of God says. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He died and rose again, and you confess Him as Lord, you're saved, if that's genuine faith. So you start there. And then, to know you're saved, you look at your life. It's simple enough. Do I manifest the evidence of new birth? Do I love righteousness? Do I hate sin? Do I long to know Christ? Do I love Him and want to love Him more? What are the impulses and affections? All of that and more is in a book called Saved Without a Doubt. Saved Without a Doubt. How to be sure of your salvation. If you contact us for the first time, we'll send it to you free. Again, Saved Without a Doubt. You can be sure of your salvation.
Friend, if you're not sure you're a Christian, if you're battling with doubt and fear, Scripture has answers. And John's book, Saved Without a Doubt, will show you where to find the biblical assurance that you're looking for. This book can also be particularly encouraging for a new believer or as a gift for folks who now have spent many years plagued by doubt. Again, we'll send you a free copy if you're contacting us for the first time. To get your copy, ask for Saved Without a Doubt when you contact us today. Mail your request to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or send an email request to letters@gty.org. You can also take advantage of this offer by visiting the radio page at our website, gty.org. Or you can call toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE. Remember, Saved Without a Doubt is yours free. If you're contacting us for the first time, just let us know that you'd like a copy. Now, if you have contacted us before and you'd like potentially additional copies to give to someone who is struggling to find assurance of salvation, this book is available for $10.50 and shipping is free. To order yours, call 1-800-55-GRACE or visit our website, gty.org. And remember, if you like a copy of John's current study, The Second Birth, you can download the entire series along with more than 3,000 of John's sermons free of charge in the MP3 or transcript format. That's all at the website, gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and our entire staff, thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow as John brings you another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. How would you answer a friend or coworker who asked what he could do to be saved? Find out what it means to be born again. That's coming on tomorrow's Grace to You.